Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello and welcome to the Internet Marketing Podcast brought to you by Site Visibility. I'm your host, Scott Colnut, and with me today is Steve Wild, Head of Sales at Sky AdSmart. And we're going to be discussing what's new in TV advertising. Welcome to the podcast, Steve.
Thank you, Scott.
In this episode, we're going to discuss what's new in TV advertising. We haven't discussed that much on the podcast recently. We've discussed a little bit more about classic ads on the podcast, but not about new technology, current trends, and the areas where, Steve, I hope you're leading in Sky AdSmart. So why don't you kick things off by describing a little bit about what you do at Sky AdSmart.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me on to the podcast, Scott. So I'm Steve Wild, Head of Sales for Sky AdSmart. Sky Media has, for many years, over 30 years, been in the market to sell advertising on TV. And what we've done, although we call this new, we're next year 10 years in selling addressable TV. And the platform that we do that with, which is leading the world in addressable TV, is called AdSmart. AdSmart from Sky. Kind of says what it does in the tin. It's smart advertising. And it opens up the opportunity for any brand of any size to use TV, where most won't realise that we can serve an ad to individual homes and to the exclusion of anybody that's not in the target audience that the client wants to target. So it is quite clever. It's quite an eye-opener once you realise it can be done. And most clients, once they've done it, stick with it and scale up and continue to use it on a regular basis.
So 10 years in, how long into the industry are you?
So I started out within ITV when it was many companies, the last century. I stepped away when things were kind of all pulling together, and I went to work for an internet company that was putting video online before 4 years before YouTube started, which were a bit too early, unfortunately. Broadband wasn't great in those days, back in the early part of the 2000s. And but we carried the first video advertising online, sort of kind of streamed advertising from Sony Ericsson back in the day, and worked with Yahoo and plenty of other businesses. I stepped out of that and went to work within the music sector, because we licensed the European video catalogue from EMI and Universal to play online. We were the first to do that. And I ended up working with all the major record labels and some of the independents in the UK doing brand partnership deals. Came back into traditional world of media with Sky just over 5 years ago. So I was out for a little while. And it's quite a big challenge to come back to a big corporate when you've been doing your own thing for 15, 16 years. But it was a really interesting one. And the real reason that it worked and the real reason why I wanted to do it was because AdSmart and addressable TV and Sky are such dynamic opportunities within media that it kind of certainly gets you to want to get out of bed in the morning to work, because it's always changing. It's always, there's always something new. And hopefully across the next hour, I can explain some of those things that people may not know.
I've not heard that phrase addressable TV before. What does that mean?
So usually our conversation with a client starts with, do you do targeted marketing? Of course, most people will say yes, because they maybe use digital or social media if they're a SME. And by the very nature of doing targeted marketing, it's about selecting those audiences that you would like to target and avoiding the ones that you don't feel are going to resonate with your brand or your messaging. Addressable TV means that we because of the set-top box in a room, whether you're a Virgin household or a Sky household, so we represent Virgin and Sky, with the dynamic, with the set-top box in the room, which is how you watch your TV, we know the address of the household that we are serving that customer content. And therefore, we can absolutely, down to the household level, serve advertising which is addressable on the TV. There's lots of talk about addressable TV or connected TV. Most of it, in the UK certainly, and in other countries, is not really down to the level of granularity that I've talked about there. Because there isn't a set-top box in the room. So, you know, we kind of stand apart from anybody else in the UK, for sure, with the ability to target just individual households. So ordinarily, if you've got two households, one next door to the other, and they live on the same street and they're watching the same program, it might be The Last of Us on Sky, then go to the ad break and you get a linear, traditional TV ad, will then serve to the whole of the country, to everybody that's watching that program. But addressable TV and AdSmart allows us, enables us to effectively overlay a 30-second, usually it's a 30-second ad, overlay an ad over the ads everybody else sees nationally. The customer, the viewer, knows nothing different other than that they are then seeing an ad that is more relevant to them. And the relevance is the key thing, really, from a client point of view. Most clients who use AdSmart target around about 15 to 20% of the available audience because that's all that's relevant to them. So why waste your budget on targeting the other 80, 85% of the audience that you might reach if you're on a national campaign, if they're not appropriate?
I know you'll be reluctant to talk about competition or other peers in this space, but you mentioned there some of the benefits of Sky AdSmart. Are there competitors that are doing things similar? If so, who are they and how do you differ from them?
At its core, because there is nobody else that has a set-top box in the way that we do in the household, which if you're going to a multi-channel viewing, whether you're choosing Virgin or Sky in the household, you've kind of decided that the normal TV routes of ITV, Channel 4 and BBC aren't enough for you. So you want a wider choice. You may be buying into sport, movies, news, whatever it might be. So in the multi-channel environment, because the set-top box sits there in your room, or as of last year, the Sky Glass sits there in your room, we can serve ads onto that. We can load ads onto that set-top box and then deliver them just to that audience because they're the only audience that the client wants to reach. Actually, nobody else can do it in the same way, down to the granularity of an actual postcode, full postcode, the house, because we know the customer's address, because we've gone in to enable them with a set-top box and a satellite dish or Sky Glass. We know the actual address, whereas most of the connected TV or other video-on-demand TV options talk about being addressable, but they're either addressable, but they're not on telly. It's all about IP address, or they're on telly, but it's not really addressable. You know, you can go into certain apps in a connected TV environment and load in whatever address, whatever name, whatever age you like, and you'll still get to the content. That's not particularly going to help a client be very specific about the individuals and the profile within the household. So, you know we've got the set-top box in the household, therefore we can load an ad and we serve it relevant. But there's a huge amount of data that sits behind that to enable us to define an audience for a client to help them choose which are the best households to target.
One of the things that stands out to me, and I was thinking about this coming into this episode, is I've seen the promotional push from Sky to sell the Sky Glass product over these last few years and the development of that product. And I was thinking about how, at least to me, set-top boxes seem a little bit old school now. Like, people are trying to minimize the number of devices, it seems, in their homes. And if you can have a smart TV of some sort, generally for, I guess, most of the population, that's a better alternative. You want everything streamlined. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming there that it sounds like the set-top box is important for your USPs as a company, at least now, but that will change with the development of something like Sky Glass. If more people have Sky products, you're still able to serve the same solution for them technically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's about 2 months away. As you rightly point out, Sky Glass launched over a year and a half ago now.
Yeah.
And we've got to getting to the critical mass where the capability is there to switch on the addressable TV environment we just talked about without the use of a satellite outside and without the use of a box inside, because everything goes through a Sky Glass. If you're familiar with it, it's our streaming TV solution. So you just need good broadband. You don't need a box. You don't need a satellite, and it's a far more intuitive environment that the customer gets to view through. But it will be enabled in the next couple of months for us to be able to serve addressable wow. advertising in the way that we've done it on AdSmart for the last 10 years. So yeah, they're very exciting, because I don't know if you've had a chance to see or experience Sky Glass, but it is something else in terms of sound and vision. And it just gives you the capability to be able to view TV, a beautiful TV on your wall. You know, most people are buying 65-inch TVs, so it's certainly not the case that TV's dead, as I've been to hear at certain digital conferences. People watch TV, people watch proper content. It's kind of brand safe, and that's the environment we're serving into, because we're able to play a whole ad at full length, and if people fast forward partway through it, and they haven't seen 75% of the ad, or they change channel or turn the TV off before they've seen 75% of the ad, we don't charge for that impression. We don't count any value towards it. Yeah. Whereas in maybe other digital platforms, it's quite a different experience, but you still get charged even if the ad might be pixelating with no sound in the corner of your laptop.
And does this extend, I'm thinking about mobile devices and other devices now. Do you have the technology in place to extend to other mobile devices at this point, or is that coming in the future?
Yeah, so that's there already, but we're only just managing to combine the targeting. So the targeting by addressability is kind of first and foremost by the AdSmart environment that I just mentioned. But because we recognize the majority of the IP addresses in that household as well, then we can serve ads to the devices that they're watching other content on. So we can serve in the digital space. We can serve in the video on demand space, where that is a growing proportion of how people consume content. You know, we're all familiar with maybe not watching so much linear programming that is in a schedule, but choosing to watch video on demand and watching a box set when you want to watch it. And in that respect, you're generally more engaged with the content because you've specifically chosen it. So there's an even higher resonance of getting attraction from the advertiser if they are targeting the right households. So we target fundamentally by addressable TV through AdSmart, and now we're able to add on video on demand as well as digital to either retarget or to target the audience that hasn't seen the ad that we can still reach through the digital environment. So it is very much multi-platform, and that's what we call one campaign addressable. But it's all one campaign. We sell it across all platforms. It's by impression to each household. It's the same targeting, and we can give a report and show you how the reach and frequency builds for the relevant audience across the different platforms that are utilized, and then combine it overall so you can see you're getting to reach as much of the relevant audience as possible in an effective way.
So what are the requirements? If someone listening to this, they own a business, they're a marketer, and they're like, okay, I really want to understand more about Sky AdSmart. What are the requirements for businesses to get involved?
An understanding of how it can work, so that they can give us a really good brief as to who the target audience they want to target is. Because the more we know about that, the more honed it is that we can deliver the advertising. Generally, I kind of ask the other way around, in a way. If an advertiser hasn't used TV in the past, why is it? And generally, it's because they expect it to cost millions of pounds to be on TV and have a big campaign nationally. You can do AdSmart campaign from $3,000 upwards. And we've made it that level, and we've maintained it at that level for 10 years, because we believe that's an entry point where there's many clients who are maybe SMEs who, you know, that's the kind of budget they spend in digital and social environment. So we are, you know, we're competing for those pounds that they use for targeted marketing and digital. So we start with $3,000 upwards. That doesn't buy you everything. And we've got clients who spend $3,000, and we've got clients who spend £1.5 million on campaigns and everything in between. But it's about finding the level at which you're happy to kind of test and learn with your first budget, so you don't have to, you know, mortgage the whole company on the back of a campaign for TV. So first off, you know, the monetary commitment isn't what people expect. So that kind of ticks the box. The second reason people haven't done TV in the past is because they are too fearful of much wastage. As I said earlier, for a long, long time, people have talked about, you know, 20% of your advertising works if only you could just target 20% of the audience that you reach. Well, now you can. So you don't have wastage. So you're not paying for something that you don't want. So that's a tick in the box. And I think the third reason why people clients have struggled to come to terms with spending money on TV is because they can't, how do they attribute that they know TV worked as part of the marketing mix? You know, as we all know, marketers have a more difficult job now than probably ever because there's so many more marketing channels. So how do you find the right mix? We know that by advertising on TV, we can, there's a number of the insight reports that we can do with third parties that work with us where we can attribute that we know they've seen the ad and they've ended up on the client's website, or we know they've seen the ad and they become a customer. So that's all to do with data share and data share agreements, obviously under GDPR environment, GDPR. That helps us tick the box and say, you know that this and the ad was seen by the customer. So even if they didn't go directly, they might have gone to Google to search about the brand that they've seen the advertising from. They still may end up on the website, or they may still become a customer. So TV does play a part. It's always been a great branding tool from a marketing perspective, but now we can actually show how it works in terms of response as well. So we spent a lot of money across the last couple of years and won awards across Europe for the insight reporting that we're doing with our third party partners. So, kind of tick the box of attribution there. The fourth thing that we don't do, but clients always need to have when it comes to doing a TV campaign, is a TV ad. So we very regularly recommend creatives that are appropriate in maybe the location or the specific type of a creative that somebody's after, so that the creative agency can do the thing that they do best, work with the client, get under their skin, understand the brand, understand what they're trying to say, what the messaging is. And that's probably not best place for me as a media person to be part of that role, because yeah, the creative environment is quite a different thing. So that's the one thing we don't do, but we do put clients who haven't got creative agencies in place in touch, and they can choose from the recommendations. And it's very important that they do choose a creative agency that's used to making TV ads, because ideally it's a 30-second ad. You've got to go through Clearcast to get it onto TV, and you've got to upload it in the right way to Sky. Yeah. So there's a bit of process to the creative element as well. So, kind of we tick the boxes pretty much from what clients that take the risk out of it from a client point of view. And also, we've got lots of case studies across many sectors because of what we've been doing for the last 10 years to help de-risk any client that wants to try and use it for the first time.
Yeah, so I'm hearing that people listening that are maybe thinking about TV advertising, haven't explored TV advertising for a long time, essentially people like me, I haven't really spent a lot of time thinking about modern TV advertising. Mm-hmm. But maybe these people like me would be surprised to learn that it's more accessible than ever. So it's available to a wider range of businesses with a lower cost investment than maybe you would expect. And also a lower barrier to entry when it comes to actually creating the creative for the ads as well. Are there any other common myths about modern TV advertising that you would be keen to bust in this episode? Things that you get challenged with that come up a lot, where these things aren't actually a problem, but people might think that they are?
I think that in certain sectors, some people think that people don't watch television anymore. Wow. And they only watch video online, and that is so wrong. The audience that TV's maintained its audience for the last, now compared to 10 years ago, when a lot of the sort of video digital play wasn't even in the mix. They're watching it differently. It's not all about linear scheduled TV. It's not always about recorded TV, which is where we deliver AdSmart, but it is about VOD, video on demand as well. But the total audience that's watching TV and content on TV hasn't changed at all. In fact, over COVID times, it went up quite significantly because people were at home a lot more. And I think that's probably the biggest myth, that there are certain sectors of the market who will have, if you think that no one watches television anymore. That's just not the case.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, which of the sectors do you find are most successful? So are almost a no-brainer.
In terms of clients and advertisers?
Yeah.
Wow. They're really... We've got examples through sectors that range from the local plumber in Sevenoaks to a funeral director to a council in any part of the country who wants to advertise to get people to foster children, which is arguably the most difficult thing you could possibly advertise on TV.
Yeah.
Through to Maserati, McLaren, Princess Yachts, you know, high-end luxury, who only want to target 1% of the available audience, probably based in Southwest London, and everything in between. And there really isn't any sector where we struggle working with clients to help them do better marketing. I think now for a while there was a period, you know, finance is really strong for us, as is the care home sector, as is councils, because you can be very granular in terms of geography. Car dealers and car brands, that's always been quite a long stay. We've worked with now must be 20 plus universities and probably approaching that many private schools as well now who advertise. Obviously, they've got their own catchment and target audience, but that's fine. They can do what they need to do and spend with us what they want, as long as it's more than £3,000. We've worked with over 4,000 brands in that 10 years. 405 of them were new to television last year. Okay, so it's growing, and more businesses are being exposed to it through their agencies or the creative agencies or their brand specialists, or doing it directly with us, because you can. You don't need, you know, we can use our system to plan the target, the campaign and the audience, and then we can report it back just like you would any digital campaign. You can have a report back that shows you how the campaign's been delivered in terms of impressions, how the reach is building, and what level of frequency we've achieved. And generally, we plan a campaign and end out with 85 to 90% reach of the audience you want to target, and ideally somewhere between 7 and 10 times frequency across a 6-week campaign. That's kind of the sweet spot. Knowing that, if you haven't seen the ad 6 times, you are probably not going to reach the highest level, the optimum level of response that you could do if people did see it 6, 7, or 8 times. Once you get to more than 10 times in one platform, then you possibly are better off spending the money targeting the impressions to other households that haven't seen the ad. But that's how we deliver the campaign. Ideally, it's, you know, with a 7, 8, 9 times frequency across a 6-week period. You only need to see an ad 1, 1.5 times a week on average, as long as you're seeing it across that kind of 6-week period. What we don't, you know, that's how we deliver. We deliver the advertising in a way programmatically. We don't serve all the 8 ads that are relevant in a campaign on the first day just because someone's watching lots of TV. We do spread it out across the period, and that's how we believe and know that the campaigns work best. But the level of frequency, now that we can deliver into other platforms like digital and video on demand, an extra bit of reach and frequency in a slightly different environment around programs that you've chosen, that does, we're starting to get some research back, and this is, you know, it's all fairly fresh, you know, in the last sort of 3 or 4 months that this, we've been operating this kind of one campaign scenario. You can see that by adding video on demand to AdSmart, you can boost the frequency and still boost the reach that you get and still have a higher response. So the levels of response that we get are quite often 10 times the level of response that you get with digital, partly because it's brand safe, it's proper programming, they're real audiences, but partly also because of the viewability factor. So I mentioned earlier that 75% viewability on AdSmart before you pay for impression. In video on demand and in digital, it's 100%. So whilst we'll still report what the average view through rate has been, we only charge once a customer, a viewer, has seen 100% of the ad. Otherwise, we don't charge.
As you were talking that through, you started to touch in more detail on the targeting options that you offer via AdSmart. Could you maybe summarize some of the targeting options that are available to customers? So, I mean, it sounds like, again, location, you can go very granular, but anything beyond location?
Yeah, so there's about 2,000 attributes that we can use to select a target audience, and we can overlay them on top of each other. So one of our most commonly used attributes is Experian. As a partner, most people know what Experian do, but they have, yes, I think 65 types that fall into 15 groups, and every household in the country is put into one of those types because of the profile of the household, and they've got over 550 pieces of data about in every household. So we work with clients and use the kind of the tool that Experian have to select attributes that are relevant. And then the Experian system will give us a list of the, in priority, the best groups or types to target. So that's very commonly used by many clients. Also age and affluence. Affluence rather than income usually, because that's the determinant of how much money you've got left after all your commitments, rather than just a high salary, if you've got a high salary, but you've, you know, committed to most of that being spent, then you know, maybe you haven't got a lot of affluence to afford a big cruise or a new car or move house. So those are commonly used, but we work with many data partners. You asked earlier about the sectors that we don't do so well in. Mm. For a period of time, I think we thought, and we didn't have great success or many campaigns in the retail environment, sort of groceries environment, I mean, not just general retail. But now we work with Nectar for Sainsbury's, and we work for Dunnhumby for Tesco's, and we have been for a number of years. And that enables us not just to do a report at the end to say, well, this is how much the change of sales happened after your campaign, but we actively work with them to only target households that have a loyalty card for Sainsbury's, Nectar card, and target specific brands or shelves that are relevant to the brand that's advertising. And that just means that it can be really accurate in terms of the targeting, but at the end of it, get a report that says how they have managed to switch some loyalty, sell some product against the competitive market. So we can do a lot of retail media activity now as well.
You touched on, as you were talking there, the reporting aspect, which is something I'm really interested in as well. I asked a question a moment ago about maybe what would listeners be surprised to hear about TV advertising in 2023? And we talked about other things, but perhaps not reporting. Perhaps that's a surprise. You had talked earlier about third-party partners that you have in place that support with the measurement side. I don't know how much you're able to share on this, but are you able to share anything on who those third-party partners are and how you do report on the attribution part?
Yeah, we work with some of the industry businesses that work across other platforms as well. So I think we work with Adalyzer, we work with BDRC for brand evaluation reporting. So there's quite a long list, you know, certainly not marking our homework here. And the reporting just gives us the ability to track back and measure. So, yeah, so there are some clients that have run campaigns where they've got a big customer database, and we can profile that for them. And so we can build an audience that is a lookalike audience with the same profile. We can go to the extent of excluding the existing customers, so that we're not targeting existing customers, but we're just targeting those that look like existing customers but aren't. There was a client who, on the back of that, then ran a different creative copy offering an incentive to their existing customers to maintain loyalty. And you can do that as well. Those are kind of custom segments. They do come with a much higher level of budgetary requirement of over £100,000, but that's kind of fine for brands that can do that and have that size of audience. It makes a lot of sense. It's just, you know, there's other things that we can do in terms of target people by viewing passion. You know, we did have a client who wanted to sell some European golf breaks a little while ago, but they only wanted to target people who watched the Ryder Cup, and we said, well, it doesn't matter, the Ryder Cup isn't on at the moment, so how do we do that? We can go back through the set-top box environment and put together a list of, in, say, 10 percentiles, which are the households that watched most of the Ryder Cup when it, which are the households that watched the Ryder Cup when it was on last time, and then target them. Now, that doesn't have to be placing an ad in the Ryder Cup because it wasn't on at the time, or even in a golf tournament. It doesn't matter. It's still the same households that are interested in golf because we know they watched the Ryder Cup. So there's that kind of stuff that we can do as well, which is really, really interesting to some clients. It's really relevant because if they don't know who their audience is exactly, we can target them by their viewing behaviours.
And I know you said that you're not in the media production side, but so answer whatever you can here. But I am curious about any trends that you see in terms of what's included in TV ads now and just the trends that you're noticing in the ads that you're running. So just starting off on the length of ad, I think earlier you noted that most ads are 30 seconds. Was that correct? And if you could just break that down, what are the ad lengths available to advertisers through AdSmart?
No, good question. So the reason why we always recommend 30-second ads, at least if not all of the campaign, it's the majority of the campaign, is because in any given month, probably 70 to 75% of the ads on TV are 30 seconds long. And because we're superimposing your ad, it has to be the exact same time length over a 30-second ad. That means we've got more opportunities to deliver the reach and frequency that I mentioned. But you can buy normal TV traded time lengths, so 10 seconds, 20s, 30s, 40s, and 60s. And in the digital environment, you can use 6 seconds upwards. Obviously, if you are running an ad on our digital YouTube channels, be it Sky Sports YouTube channel, if your ad is less than 20 seconds long, then it becomes not skippable as well. So there are other time lengths in the other platforms, but on TV, it's best to use a 30-second ad, if not all the time, most of the time.
And anything else on the trend in TV ads? So this is really to close us out. I imagine that you're excited to talk. We actually talked in this episode about Sky Glass and technology. But anything that you're really excited about when it comes to the future of TV advertising, whether that's on the technology side, maybe on the software or engineering side, what interests you?
We'll get more capability from a data point of view to target attitudinally, not just kind of lifestyle and, you know, ownership car or an EV car. I think we will go that route. And you know, in the environment that Sky as a business operates, we're very environmentally aware. And so the kind of green attitudes that people have is quite a key thing to us, as well as to many clients that we work with. So I think those kind of things are interesting to see how we can develop. I think it's really interesting how we can work across multi-platforms, doing what we've done so well in addressable world for the last 10 years, and see how we can help clients work out what is the best way to deploy their budget by using all of the available platforms that we have to target their specific audience. And I think anything to do with reporting and insight, and, you know, if clients go into this with an open mind that it's a test and learn environment, generally they scale up from spending maybe 10 grand to start with. And I think the 25% of the new advertisers last year spent between 10 and 12 grand with us on their first campaign. Now, that might just be a small percentage of what they could spend, but that's what they feel comfortable spending. They're quite quickly, and the exciting part is not selling a dream here. I mean, this is something that's amazing that we are working in and what the tool that we have, but it's about, you know, going on a journey with the client. It's not just about selling them the first TV campaign and then leaving them to it and hoping it works. It's about giving them reports and insight to show how it does work, and then scaling up to do it bigger and better, and honing in on the bits that work the best, and then, you know, working up to the full budget. And quite regularly, clients will go from spending, you know, 10 grand in their first campaign to £250,000 6 months to a year later, because they're seeing the return on investment. And that's, you know, we're helping businesses, and it's a very difficult climate now, although I think there is some good news coming at the moment, where energy prices and inflation are going down, although they are from very high levels. But, you know, across the kind of COVID period, I can't believe I've left it this long without mentioning that word. But, you know, we work with loads of SMEs. We incentivize some with some free media campaigns to help support businesses. But what we know going forward is that we've got some real effective tools to help businesses do what they're trying to do, which is earn money and provide services. So it's not just media, it's actually being really involved in what clients are aiming to do. And that's, I think, probably the most exciting part. You know, every day I have a conversation with a client or an agency, it's never anything is the same as it was the day before. Every client has a different perspective, even if they've got the same kind of target audience. So it's always quite fresh and new, and as Sky is a very dynamic business anyway, so it's a great environment to be in.
Does it still excite you when you get to see, you mentioned journey, the word journey, and I was thinking you're in the sales position, head of sales. So I was thinking that maybe you aren't so involved in the actual media creative, but I assume that you still... Is there still that same level of satisfaction and enjoyment when you see someone that you've bought into using Sky Ad Smart for the first time, and then eventually you see their ads running on TV in front of you?
Yeah, absolutely. I might be head of sales, but I've still got a target that's bigger than the rest of the team.
Yeah.
we kind of lead from the front, because that's, I think, how you get to work best with your team and inspire the team to do the same as what you're doing. Yeah, it's great to see a client use TV for the first time, go through all those hurdles and challenges that hopefully we've generally eliminated, to actually see how it affects their business and then help them do it bigger and better.
Okay, well, I've enjoyed your address on addressable television, so thanks for that, Steve. If people want to learn more about you, Sky Ad Smart, perhaps they even want to think about getting started using Sky Ad Smart, where can they find you?
Yeah, so we've got a website which is called adsmartfromsky.co.uk. You can go to the Sky Media website and you'll get to us. I'm on LinkedIn as Steve Wild. You'll find me there. I've got my email address is steve.wild, as in animal, W-I-L-D, .co.uk, sorry, steve.wild@sky.uk. Very happy to converse with anybody that wants to have a conversation.
And I'm assuming, I actually haven't seen these myself yet, but the case that you mentioned case studies, I'm always curious after listening to episodes like this, the case studies of other companies that have done well. A case study is accessible via the website you just mentioned, or will people have to email you to access them?
Yeah, so we've just loaded three new video testimonial case studies to the website today, or something that will go live this week, which are clients sitting down in Sky's office being filmed, talking about their experience with Sky and AdSmart. And there's nothing better than that, because we're not selling it. They're just talking you through their experience of how it's worked and why they're coming back to do it more. So there's one from Bridgman, which is a market furniture business. There's one from Breathe, which is a HR business-to-business tool. And then there's one from Faraway Pizzas, who are obviously in a very competitive food market, and they're into their second campaign. And yeah, go and watch the videos. But we always say, though, nothing sells TV better than a TV advert. So we regularly compile lists of ads that have worked with AdSmart in sectors, and then provide clients who are perhaps just a little concerned as to what would they say in an ad. So look, why don't you have a look at what all of your other competitors or businesses in your sector have done, and that just works like a dream. And you always need, from a creative point of view, to allow the creatives to be creative. Tell them what you don't want, don't tell them what you do want, because then they can be creative. But yeah, I think, you know, seeing a TV ad that you know has worked on TV in the way that I've described really helps kind of de-risk any thoughts you had of not using TV yourself.
Well, I'll be checking those out. Listeners, I hope you do too. Steve, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. This has been the Internet Marketing Podcast. Take care.